Drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. From circus and rock cabaret adult shows, Geraldine Quin and Anna Lum are exploring the world of music and circus for kids at this year's Comedy Festival. Anna Lum is a circus and hula hoop dynamo known for her physical comedy and wild theatrics, and I've seen them, they are wild. And Geraldine Quin is a cabaret dynamo and comedian who is joining Circus Oz in two comedy festival shows, one for adults and one for children. Geraldine and Anna, welcome.
Thanks.
Hi.
So, children and adults.
Mm-hmm. They're both people.
They are both human. But who are the better audience members?
Oh, I don't think it's fair to
it's fair. It's a fair question. All questions are fair.
What? Depends on the... you can't pit children and adults in competition.
Yes, you can, and I have.
But there are... There's a few differences, and I was thinking about this, actually, and I have to say... the word anarchy comes to mind because with kids, it's a pretty honest response. Mm. So they will just yell and you know,
tell
react
what they really think
in real time. Mm-hmm. And I have been rushed on the stage. So, you know.
You've been rushed.
Bedlam.
You
rushed,
mean like
a rock star.
Children.
Like they've all run up. Yeah. They've just run up. Yeah.
Does that feel awesome or like an invasion of your privacy?
It feels amazing, albeit a safety issue, but that's okay.
That is an element of it that I've discovered working with Circus Oz with the kids show. It's just like, oh, that's safety, small humans, trying to explain the concept of space. And also...
Yeah. Don't do this at home.
Yeah. There totally is that. And there's also, this is a thing that I understand as an adult seeing the circus performers do it, what the risks are. Mm-hmm. And how we can't explain that to you because you'll get afraid.
Yeah.
So you have to be kind of really clever about how you do that.
Yeah. For sure.
Very clever.
Mm. I'm not saying I am. I usually ask somebody else to move the children out of the way so that the aerial act can do what they do.
Yeah.
So fans of Rockwiz and Spicks and Specks will recognise you, Geraldine. How's the crossover from adult shows to kids? I mean, what makes kids laugh?
What's been really a huge learning curve for me is that I actually, being a solo artist who writes their own stuff and now working with a team, was the first big jump. And then it's like, oh, we're doing a kids show as well. And I have 20 nieces and nephews, so I've known a lot of children, and I don't talk to them much differently to how I talk to adults. The main difference for me is what the concept behind it is, so that we can be much more... We can be naughty in a raunchy way in Neon, the 80s show, but we can be naughty in a silly way in the kids show. But we can also be silly for adults, which is very fun.
Yeah, fart jokes and stuff.
Oh, totally.
Adults like them too, right?
Yeah, everyone likes a fart joke.
I mean, that's a universal thing.
It's how we connect.
It's how we are, the people we are. So Circus Oz are doing two shows in this year's Comedy Festival, Neon for adults, as you say, and Bubblegum Cabaret for kids. Is there crossover?
No, only the cast. That's it. There's no crossover.
Entirely different shows. Entirely. Not same content.
Not at all. There are a couple of acts that we've done with the Comedy Festival for kids shows that are in Neon. Bubblegum Cabaret and Neon are completely different shows.
And Anna, you're super amazing giant girl.
Giant. Because I'm ginormous. I'm 5'4". I'm huge.
I can see. I'm seriously wondering if we're going to survive this experience. You're so big. It's really the story of, you know, strength and fragility, triumph.
Yeah,
trying to explore with this character?
Right. So I guess I was influenced by Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. I loved the idea of that. It's 1958 sci-fi, the aesthetic of this, like, ginormous woman towering over city. And in the kids show, I play a giant lady, and she is trying to find somewhere to fit in. She lives in a small town. She doesn't quite feel like she fits in there. So she goes on a journey to sort of, you know, find a place where she fits in, but it's also about self-acceptance. So, yeah, meet some pretty cool characters on the way.
So tell me about some of these characters.
Well, she meets a person that becomes her friend, and his name in the show is Normal Person. So he just represents everyone.
Hey, Normal.
You know, she is other and he is everyone. So they kind of go on a bit of a journey together to save the day.
What is it about that outsider element that you're trying to connect with kids? Do you feel like kids that feel like outsiders are not, and something that they can kind of explore enough?
Totally. I mean, it's about sort of accepting differences and friendship and, I think as a kid, I always felt like a bit of a drifter, a bit of an in-betweener. So like that I didn't have any scene that I particularly fit in. So I think that's really informed the show. And I just kind of, you know, wanted to celebrate that diversity and difference.
You should try having your mother being a teacher at your school. And you will really know the pain.
Tell me about that pain and how that's manifested into your current career.
I'm totally fine now. My mother never believed it, but it was, we moved interstate as well. So not only was I, you know, my mum was a teacher at my primary school when I was in Wagga Wagga, then we moved to Melbourne and she was a teacher at my primary school there as well. And yeah, it's you certainly get treated very differently.
Wow. Yeah. That is tough.
Yeah. And then I just went to high school and realized I was a nerd as well. And then you find out at the end of it when you leave that half the people thought you were like really cool. It's like you could have told me while I was there.
Why do we find that out in delay?
I don't know. Like seriously, it was generally the last day of school. I had Nicole and Maura say, "Well, you always thought you were the cool kid." It's like, I need to know this
bit
in 1990.
Bit late now, Nicole.
Yeah.
This is RN. I'm Patricia Carvelis, and with me in the drawing room are performers Geraldine Quinn and Anna Lum. So how did you get into this world that you're
crazy
both in? Because this creative, crazy business,
yeah.
It's a tricky pathway to enter. When did you first know that this was going to be you?
I was super into jazz ballet.
I love jazz ballet too.
You know, that was a wild time, and I really wanted to be a performer. And I remember sitting down in my high school having a sort of career advice meeting with some teachers and my parents, and they actually discouraged me from being a performer. So I sort of went off on this 4-year tangent and went to uni, and then the very year I graduated from uni, I auditioned for a company. It was Strange Fruit. I got in and immediately was touring the world, and I pretty much came full circle. So I was kind of like, well, you know, if I'd stuck to that path and that passion, there's something to be said for that. So
they discouraged you. Was this the school or your parents?
Well, I'm not it's a surprise.
Well, you know, it was, what was it? It was in the mid-90s. I don't know. It was quite a conservative school. My parents are, bless them, gorgeous, but a little bit conservative. And I think back at that point, circus wasn't really a thing. You know, you couldn't go and do classes. Like it wasn't really.
But I wanted to be an actor or a musician and I got the same discouragement. Yeah. You got to have a real job. That completely happens all the time.
Has that
it
changed?
Still happens, doesn't
yeah.
it?
It does.
It's
but I feel like.
To me now and I'm nearly 44.
Yeah, but I feel like kids these days, they've got a little bit more, I don't know, has that changed a bit? I feel like it's a bit more like.
I think it's been good to have a lot more projects like in place that are encouraging music in schools particularly and how learning creative endeavours at primary and senior school level is really important for development
as
maths or science or
English. Yeah, and I feel like kids have a bit of a yes I can attitude more so these days. I don't know, like I know that kids can, you know, it's not a surprise. Like kids can go and do circus workshops.
That's because of us.
That is true. It's because of us. Look at us. We're awesome. You see it,
you be it, right?
No, well, it's because when we're doing, when people like you and I, and we've known each other for ages as well, around various fringe festivals, and we're doing kids shows, if we are doing anything like that, we're always thinking of the stuff that we heard when we were kids.
Yeah, exactly. And trying to change those attitudes. Mm. And
So you're the little people in your audience. I mean, I take my kids to see your shows, like the little kids see you. And you're actually role models too, right? Do you think about that?
Yeah. And it isn't just about, oh, you can all be artists. Because if we're all artists, then that doesn't work. We can all think creatively and that can always be useful to anyone. And if you want to, there are avenues that we had to sort of find a hard way.
I think so, I agree, I do feel like a bit of a role model, you know. Triumph in the face of adversity is my character, and I feel like I'm sort of, it's a very yes you can attitude, I think, which is good. Yeah.
And I'm the only one. I can't do the splits, and yet I'm in a circus ostrich.
See, I love that, right? Because I'm that kid who could never do a cartwheel, can't. It's the idea of letting go like that. It's the control freak in me. Oh my God, I'm going to break my head.
I mean, look, disclaimer, kids, don't run out and try everything you see us do. There is a bit of training and rehearsal involved, but you know.
Yes, but like I get an adult up on the stage at one point to sing a duet with me.
Goodness.
But they don't have to sing because I've got the backing track ready to go. So you can mime if you want, you can sing if you want, and everyone can sing. And I make a point of saying that because kids get told that all the time. As a singer, I know kids get told that all the time. Yeah. Oh, you're terrible. It's like, everybody can hold a tune. Yeah. It's very rare that you can't hold a tune.
I might sing a song in my show and it might not be my bestest skill. Sorry,
and I'm completely surprised at how it's also adults just going, oh, no, I can't do this. Yeah. And then when they let loose, it's really wonderful.
Yeah. So you're emancipating the adults too.
I think adults and children are very similar. I mean, one of them just hasn't grown up yet, and we should still have the child. We should still have that childlike wonder in us. I think maybe that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, I think I need to get some singing lessons off you, though.
Sure, I need work, so yes, I'll do a discount mates rate.
Great, perfect.
So clearly, music is also a feature of your work too.
100%.
And you're embarking on singing, even though this isn't your forte, right?
Yes. I mean,
crazy, brave.
I know, it's pretty intense. Like, it's actually really fun, but it is the scariest moment for me in the show. That might have something to do with the fact that I'm doing a very precarious balance while I'm singing on the ukulele. Oh. I know. And I'm getting better. And the kids help me along with the song. It's a Katy Perry song. So,
well yeah, hey,
which one? Raw.
Oh,
It's a stomper, isn't it?
That's a lot of lung power required.
I know.
And a lot of core strength while breathing through your diaphragm.
I know. I'm amazing.
You really are.
I'm saying that, you know, it's a lot of physicality you've got to think about.
Have there been any, like, disastrous, I love, like, gory stories, things that have happened on stage? Because part of watching what you guys do, I love those stories. I'm always like, are they going to get injured? Is something bad going to happen?
Can I just clarify, is this wood here? Like, just in case I need to.
We're just going to do a bit of knocking.
Just in case we have to. Because it's kind of like it's sort of something you don't really talk about and
look, I'm going to be vague, but something did occur on stage with our cast once, and I came back going, that was amazing improvisation, and they went, I nearly fell off. and I was like, oh my God, that's terrible, but also no one had any idea, including me.
I was gonna tell one from a different kids show, not this one specifically, but
smart.
Divert. I was wearing a white boiler suit and I was in a big circus tent with a sort of, you know, that's got the circus like the ring. There was like a wooden kind of boundary, and I was doing some good old slapstick, and I took a little tumble and I caught my head on the corner of the ring and did it, sort of split my head over. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, but it does, there's a lot of blood. And I was wearing a white boiler suit. It was actually fine. I was fine. But the image was probably terrifying.
Oh. How did all of the people in the audience respond?
Well, I got out of there pretty quickly, but it was
Was it sort of that gasp of horror?
I think I sort of got out quickly enough before it started spouting out.
So you basically tried to cover it up so that people didn't see how bad it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was performance art, okay?
I've tripped over a foldback speaker as a solo performer and landed on a floor light, one of those little floor lights that's got the metal barn doors around the sides of it. So it was just a sheet of metal in my gut, and I got up bleeding and went, yeah, I'm fine. It wasn't until after because the adrenaline just keeps you going in a weird way.
Adrenaline is an incredible thing.
The most amazing
bleeding.
Thing.
Yeah.
You were both bleeding.
Yeah.
Is there a sort of sense of slight terror every time you go out that something might...
Well, it's been really interesting for me as a non-circus performer to sort of see everybody's... Because the number one thing for me is I've got to not be in your way, and everything's got to be safe.
There's so many elements.
To the point where I also have to insist on a sound check, because my safety is my voice.
Yeah.
So you kind of... but there's so many elements and there's so many people on a stage. Yeah. That's been a really big learning curve for
me. There's so many balls in the air, pun.
Literally.
It's a delicate balancing act. Boom.
You have to look after yourself.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot of safety stuff going on. There's a lot, you know, we're all thinking about so much, you know, whilst we're smiling.
What's the costume made
costume
out of compared to what you...
Exactly.
No, not even a malfunction. What's the material?
Exactly.
Can you do the trick in the material?
Exactly.
Yeah, all that
there's
stuff.
So many elements. And I think that's the kind of the beauty about circus and live performance is there is an element of risk, and it is tricky, and the stuff we are doing does take a bit of, you know, practice, and there is a potential for something, she clutches the wood again, to go wrong, but we make sure that we're well rehearsed that, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Not just in circus, in any kind of performance, there's always that risk that something can go wrong, and that's why you work on your technique, so you've got that safety net.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Now, Geraldine, Neon is a classic 80s show, which pleases me immensely. Talk to me about the 80s sort of deep dive.
It pleases me too.
There. Yeah, how good is that?
Like, it's really cool.
Okay, I've got personal non-circus Oz views on
80s. Personal non-circus Oz views.
My own views.
Disclaimer.
My own views on doing any decade is you've got to find your angle for it, because there is a broad amount of musical genres in any single decade, and yet when some people think of 80s, they think of Cyndi Lauper party stuff. Other people think of Moody Vienna stuff, which is more my solo show. Mm-hmm. So what's been really lovely with this show is the circus is the element that's tied it all together. So,
and the hairspray.
It's us and it's how we react with each other. And it's a really – I've been in it for the whole year and a bit that it's existed, and every different reiteration of the cast – I should say, has been wonderful. And it's been people that really get along and have all been completely different from each other with completely different senses of humour, but they've all got great senses of humour. So the team is what makes it a little bit different. But people see 80s and go, yeah!
Yeah.
And we do some pretty amazing stuff with some pretty amazing songs.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself. Yeah.
And for you, it's all about Katy Perry.
Yeah, Katy Perry. That we definitely, when I was designing the soundtrack, was definitely kind of thinking about,
Talking to the kids.
Also what parents want to hear as well. So there's a bit of 90s in there. There's Good Vibrations by Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. We've got Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory, a bit of Talking Heads. But also, some stuff for the kids, which is a bit more contemporary. So Uptown Funk, Mark Ronson, Katy Perry, Janelle Monáe. Woo!
Do you think maybe chuck all in a hits. Bit of Ariana Grande next time too? Just helping.
Noted. She's, I'm going to put that on the playlist. Yeah.
Thank you next, although you've got to dub over the rude word.
Yeah.
She's getting a little edgy, isn't she?
I'm loving it.
I'm sort of terrified by it, you know. Wow.
Yeah, I'm quite into Thank You Next. That's good. That's a good track.
Let's
You haven't actually read the lyrics.
When you
have
play
you?
That to your children, just a note, guys.
Okay.
Listening.
Yes. Right.
Maybe choose the version that dubs out the rude words.
Yes.
Or then you have to explain that you're not allowed to say that again.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Geraldine Quinn and Anna Lum have been my guests in the drawing room tonight.